WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Monday morning. And, of course, a programming note that I didn't remember to mention in the first hour, but in the 9 o'clock hour, South Coast Now this morning, Chris McCarthy will not be here today. He actually has an appointment today, so filling in for him will be Ken Pittman. So Ken will be with you from 9 to noon, and then Brian Thomas will be with you from right after Bill O'Reilly at 12:15 to 3. And then I believe back for his program. I always leave it up to him if he wants to come back in. I can always put on Howie Carr if the 3 hours in the afternoon is too much for him, as he's filling in for Barry today. Barry using up all of his vacation time by taking off the Mondays in November and then a bunch in December as well. So I got to get on that Barry vacation plan. Actually, what's funny is I think I do. I think I have as much vacation time as he does. I just don't take it. So Barry will use every day of vacation time that he has. He told me before, he's like, you earn it. You should use it. I know I should. But inevitably, if I use it, I just end up sitting at home. And then if I'm sitting at home, I'm just like thinking about what I could be doing for work. Although I'm looking forward to next week. Is next week Thanksgiving? I have no idea. Yes, next week, Thanksgiving. So next week, looking forward to the Thanksgiving break. We're going to have Thursday and Friday off here at the station. So I'm going to try to not be here for 4 straight days. See if I can pull that off. Although I'm redoing another room to be my office. And I was like, I could come in on Black Friday. Nobody's around. I could go in there and work uninterrupted and probably get the whole thing done. I could probably spend that weekend moving into it and be done with it by, we'll see. There's something to be said for not having to go to work for 4 straight days. So 508-996-0500 is the number. App chat and open line voicemails, both available to you on the WBSM app. I also mentioned in the first hour, we have a brand new contest for you this week. We are giving away tickets to see Maroon 5 at TD Garden this Saturday. So if you would like to enter to win, just go to the website, go to the app, click on enter to win Maroon 5 tickets, and you could just, all you got to do is put in your name, your phone number, your email. I think that's really all we ask, a birth date. And then you could be the lucky winner. We're going to pick the winner on Wednesday after the show. So you have until Wednesday at 9 a.m. to enter. But get on over there to WBSM.com and the WBSM app and get yourself entered to win tickets to see Maroon 5. At TD Garden. You don't have to worry about it if you're like, oh, I'm too busy to get to the station to pick up the tickets on Thursday or Friday. Don't worry about it. They are virtual tickets. We're going to send them to you via the Ticketmaster app. So all you got to do is, if you are the winner, sign that email we send over, which you sign virtually, and then we'll send you the tickets. Super easy. So you can enter to win now. And it is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. And also, while I'm giving you some news and notes, one more reminder that the butcher shop is closed today. It's the last day they're going to be closed. They will reopen tomorrow. And you can go in there and get everything you've been craving while they were on their little break for the last week. All right. 508-996-0500. One thing that we didn't get to mention in the first hour is the story we had for you on Friday, the passing of Bruce Oliveira, the longtime school committee member, and numerous other things that he has done around the city and for the city over the course of his life. I didn't really know him very well. I didn't get a chance to interact with him very much. But in seeing him at school committee meetings and seeing the way that he handled himself, you know, I can totally see the comments that I've read from everybody that he was just a genuinely good person. Anybody that can spend 30 years involved with youth sports is a very patient person, is a person that has a very strong desire to help the community, and who definitely cares about young people. And that certainly seemed to be the case with Bruce. And if you want to call in with any memories of him, you can. 508-996-0500. I'll get Council President Burgo's thoughts when he comes in. But it's just, it's a sad event, of course, his passing, but to see all of the wonderful things people are saying about him, you say, well, I hope I can live a life that good and have an impact on people like that. And speaking of Council President Burgo's appearance, we can talk to him more this week about the mayor's decision to send the police chief before the council for confirmation, which they did decide on Thursday and Thursday's meeting to send it to appointments and briefings. And Councilor Carney, who is the chair of that committee, said it will be on the December agenda. And so we can get his, you know, we got a little bit of his thoughts on it, but we didn't really have time to get into it last week because we got some calls. But we can get into it more this week. Because my question is, so this eliminates the need for the legal action. But does it? Because it doesn't solve the original question, which is, does the council have that authority? And you can say, well, you know, by the mayor, by virtue of the mayor sending him before us for confirmation, that shows that we do have the. But I think if there's still that gray area, it should be decided upon. It should be ruled on. And also further proof why the city charter needs a review, an updating, to go through where some of these, I'm trying to look for, where things are vague and need more clarification. I almost said these vagrancies, but that's not the word I was looking for. But these moments, these parts of it in which there needs to be further clarification and kind of drill down on that a little bit more. And as part of that, that's going to mean you might have to have someone else look at that impartially and rule one way or the other. But I think it's a necessary thing. You may feel differently, but I think that that's a healthy thing to do. 508-996-0500. We also have a story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. If you didn't get a chance to check this out last week, the black bears are being seen again. They're probably heading into their hibernation period. And as such, you know, some of them that might have been hanging around this area, you might see passing through. And then you're going to get them even more in the spring when they come out and they're looking for food and looking for mates. And plus, listen, I love Mass Wildlife, okay? They're a great organization. They do a great job of always giving us great information when we're writing stories about things. But I just think that for some reason, they are not being totally forthcoming on the presence of bears here. Now, they did say this year that there have been less bears seen in the area than in years past. But I've got to think some of these have to be bears that are here permanently. I argued with people about this a couple of years ago when we first started getting the bear sightings. And I was like, no, I spoke with Mass Wildlife. They said the bears don't live here. And, you know, the more time has passed, the more I'm starting to come over to the side of, I think they might be around. I think they might be here more permanently than we think. Certainly there's, you know, been arguments about, well, there's not a lot of bobcats in this area. Well, there is. We see them. People send pictures of them. You know, I think there's more wildlife here than we've tracked, than we've quantified. And maybe bears now fit into that category. But the bottom line is we still do have to learn to live with them and live around them. I was watching a video the other day from the Cape on Facebook where there was a coyote just walking down Main Street in broad daylight. And people were concerned, like, well, obviously he is rabid or else he wouldn't be out in the daytime. But others were saying, well, hold on. I mean, I see them all the time in the daytime now. So I don't know if, you know, maybe this one was rabid, but it wasn't showing signs of aggression toward anybody. But the thought process was they're here and they've gotten so used to people that they're not afraid of them anymore. And they will come out in the daytime and they will come out alone. And they will just walk right by a person. And is that where we're at now with some of the wildlife in the area? 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Going to take my first break of the morning here. Of the morning. Of the hour. I already took like three breaks. Come on, Tim. You can tell it's a Monday morning, right? You can tell that maybe I got a little bit too much sleep. You know, I woke up from my sleep. You know, I have two alarms that go off. One goes off and then I go back to sleep for a little bit. And then the other one I have to definitely get up by. And when that first one went off, I went to go grab my phone to turn the alarm off. And I looked and there was a bug on my screen, a giant bug crawling on my screen. I'm like smacking it. Like I smack my phone and, like hitting it. And I'm like, oh, it's splattering all over my phone. But I'll deal with it when I wake up with the second alarm. And then when I woke up, there was nothing on my phone. I was like, what? What? I think I dreamed that. There was no dead bug on the floor or anything. Like it wasn't around. I think it was just like I was dreaming it. So maybe I haven't fully woken up. So I don't know that I've already taken three breaks. Anyway, if you're upgrading your home's energy efficiency, you know it can feel overwhelming. But with C2S Energy, you don't have to go it alone. Their certified experts handle everything from assessing your home to recommending the right solutions, whether it's insulation, windows, roofing, or high-efficiency heat pumps. They even navigate the rebate process for you, making it simple to qualify for savings up to $16,000. Trust a team that knows the programs, the products, and how to maximize your comfort and savings. Visit C2SEnergy.com and let C2S Energy do the heavy lifting. All right, we will be back in just a few moments. 508-996-0500.
Wake up!
Starting your day the right way with the Tim Weisberg Show. Mornings on WBSM.
You know, that song is I Hear the Secrets That You Keep When You're Talking in Your Sleep. It's like, I see the bugs that you try to splat when you're sleeping and you think that they're on your phone. Anyway, we're going to be going into the news in just a moment. When we come back on the other side of that, we'll have today's edition of the Gen X Files brought to you by Just Another Phoenix in Dartmouth. We will also take more of your phone calls coming up at 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. I was at Kilburn Mill on Saturday. So after the Hunger Heroes food drop was over, I was out, you know, just kind of doing some things, and I stopped in at Kilburn Mill. I like to go to a couple of the shops over there and visit the flea market and things like that. And I was surprised by the amount of cars that were over there. Now, the parking lot that is over by the antique store that people park there to use the Cove Walk, the Harbor Walk there, whatever, there's all this stuff being done to that parking lot. So the lot was closed, but there was a lot of cars parked on the road and in the parking lots across the street. And I thought that there was more cars than usual. Now, I understand that that lot was closed, so that would put cars on the street, but I just thought there was more cars than usual. And I was talking to somebody inside Kilburn Mill, and I said, yeah, there's a lot of cars out there, but I thought more of these businesses would be open. And she said, no, it's most of those cars are the vendors, the people who are here, the people who are working here. I was like, oh, well, then where do people park if they're coming to shop? But what drives me crazy about it is I go there on Saturdays, every couple of weeks. Why are all these businesses closed? You know, you would think that you'd be open if you're running a store in that place. You think you'd want to be open on a Saturday. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get why you want to have a store and have limited hours, and those limited hours aren't a Saturday. Now, they probably have regular jobs. They've got to work and things like that. But still, you would think you'd make the time to be open on a Saturday when people are there shopping. Anyway, we can talk more about that later. But right now, it's time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts.
A vote on the Epstein files happening tomorrow. The FAA lifting flight restrictions and gearing up for holiday travel.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Federal employees are working again after the government shutdown has ended. The White House reportedly has urged federal agencies to send paychecks as fast as possible to employees who have been without pay. Some are expected to get their checks soon. Meanwhile, airlines saying they're ready to shift back to full operations once they get the clearance from the federal government.
Flights will resume operations as normal. A reduction in flights at 40 major airports nationwide began a week ago, meant to address fatigue and staffing issues among air traffic controllers as the record-long government shutdown continued. According to a news release, the decision was made following an FAA review of safety trends and due to the steady decline of staffing trigger events in air traffic control facilities. I'm Rob Martier.
The House is set to vote tomorrow on a measure to require the Department of Justice to release all of the Epstein files. Many Republicans are expected to vote yes. If the measure passes, it will go to the Senate, where it will face an uncertain future. If enough Republicans approve the measure, it will go to the president's desk for his signature. President Trump has called the Epstein files a Democrat hoax. The U.S. Southern Command says another strike on an alleged drug boat in the Eastern Pacific was carried out over the weekend. Three people killed in what was the 21st strike the military has done on alleged drug boats. Southern Command's post says Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth directed the strike, saying it took place in international waters on Saturday. A 22-year-old man is in critical condition in Greece after attempting to swallow a burger whole.
The man, whose name has not been released, made the attempt during a meal with friends in Karopi Thursday. He has since been placed on a ventilator. The man reportedly stopped breathing for 2 minutes. His airways were obstructed, leading to severe complications affecting his brain, kidneys, and other organs. Local police are investigating the incident, and they're seeking footage from the restaurant to determine if anyone encouraged him to attempt the stunt. I'm Jim Roop.
New data from the RV Industry Association says 28 million Americans plan to travel by RV this holiday season.
For Thanksgiving, over 9 million plan on taking RV travel, and 7 million are expected to hit the road over Christmas. Nearly 4 in 10 leisure travelers say they plan to take an RV trip in the next year. I'm Lisa Carton.
Police are investigating an overnight shooting that left New York's Jet cornerback Chris Boyd in critical condition. According to the New York Post, the 29-year-old NFL player was shot in the abdomen outside of a restaurant in Midtown Manhattan around 2 a.m. Police say they're looking for a man who fled the scene in a blue BMW. Boyd signed with the Jets in March but has been on injured reserve. He originally played for the Minnesota Vikings and spent time with the Arizona Cardinals and the Texans. The most popular Thanksgiving side dish in America has been revealed.
According to the survey, State of the Sides by Campbell's, stuffing remains the most popular side dish this Thanksgiving. Mashed potatoes came in second place, followed by sweet potatoes, mac and cheese, and green bean casserole. The survey says 63% of Americans prefer sides over turkey, and nearly half say they would be happy with no turkey at all and just a plateful of sides. I'm Mark Mayfield.
The Times Square New Year's Eve celebration still a month and a half away, but officials are unveiling a new ball that will drop at midnight to ring in 2026. Here's Scott Pringle.
There's going to be a ball-raising ceremony Monday to show the public the ninth version of the ball since the Times Square's New Year's Eve celebration tradition began in 1907. This new ball is more than 5,200 Waterford crystals. It's nearly twice the amount of its predecessor. It also features circular crystals for the first time.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by John C. Law.
The Bruins host the Carolina Hurricanes tonight at 7, and the Celtics are back in action with the Brooklyn Nets tomorrow at 7:30.
Now your WPRI 12 forecast. Brought to you by the Ultimate Men's Clinic.
Well, dry, colder weather next several days. Very windy today with lots of sunshine. High temperature only 45, but winds gusting over 35 miles per hour will make it feel colder. Clear, breezy tonight. Late night temperatures down to 32. More sunshine for Tuesday. Breezy and chilly with a high of 45. Dry skies on Wednesday with less wind and highs in the upper 40s. For WBSM, I'm 12 News Chief Meteorologist Tony Petracca.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
All right, well, it is time for our daily look at all things pop culture. Let's hit the music.
The Gen X Files.
All right, let's take a look at some of the events that mattered most to 80s and 90s kids on this date. The Gen X Files are brought to you by Just Another Phoenix in Dartmouth. We'll start with our celebrity birthdays. Iconic film director Martin Scorsese is celebrating his 83rd birthday today. Actor Danny DeVito turns 81. Fun fact, he was a producer on Quentin Tarantino's Pulp Fiction and numerous other films in the 90s. SNL creator and executive producer Lorne Michaels is also 81 today. Stephen Root, who played Milton in Office Space and is the voice of Bill on King of the Hill, he's 74. Former MTV star Daisy Fuentes is 59. Ronnie DeVoe of New Edition and Belle Biv DeVoe is 58. Actress Leslie Bibb turns 52. And actress Rachel McAdams is 47. Isaac Hanson of the musical group Hanson celebrates his 45th birthday today. On this date in 1968, it was the Heidi Games scandal when NBC cut the AFL championship to show the children's film Heidi, and millions missed the Raiders beat the Jets 43-32. The movie started at 7 p.m. The game ended at 7:07. You think they could have just held on for another 7 minutes? November 17th, 1978, it was Boba Fett's first appearance in the Star Wars Holiday Special on ABC. It only aired once and was never officially released on DVD, but you can still see it if you want to. It's all over the internet. On this date in 1980, John Lennon released Double Fantasy. A few weeks later, he was shot and killed, but the album quickly went to number one in many countries.
Charles?
Wait, no, not yet. Don't do that yet. Man, I blew that one. How about this one? On November 17th, 1984, 10 weeks after its first appearance in the Hot 100 at number 80, Wham's single Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go reaches number one. George Michael and Andrew Ridgeley held their lead for 3 weeks. November 17th, 1989, Disney released The Little Mermaid in theaters. Another animated classic also hit theaters that day, Don Bluth's All Dogs Go to Heaven. November 17th, 1990, David Crosby from Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young was admitted to the hospital after breaking a leg, shoulder, and ankle after crashing his Harley-Davidson motorbike. In 1992, Dateline NBC aired a demonstration showing General Motors trucks blowing up upon impact. It was later revealed that NBC had rigged the test. Okay, Baja Man, now you can go. See, I did that wrong, too. Here we go.
Who let the dogs out?
This date in 2000, Nickelodeon released the film Rugrats in Paris, the movie, and its soundtrack included Who Let the Dogs Out by Baha Men. The song became a worldwide hit, charting the top 10 in Australia, Belgium, Denmark, Germany, Ireland, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Sweden, Switzerland, and the UK. It even became the unofficial anthem for New Year's parties going into 2001. And we had some Wham news earlier. Well, on this date in 2003, George Michael signed a new contract with the record company he took to court in 1993. The singer re-signed to Sony in a deal that included his extensive back catalog. Michael had failed in his court wrangle with Sony after accusing it of, quote, professional slavery. His contract was bought out by Virgin Records. Also on November 17th, 2003, 21-year-old Britney Spears became the youngest singer to get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. The only other performer to get a Hollywood star at her age was Little House on the Prairie actress Melissa Gilbert. And on November 17th, 2006, the PlayStation 3 was released. That's the Gen X Files for November 17th, 2025, brought to you by Just Another Phoenix in Dartmouth, where this week you can try cranberry nut toast or peach crumble pancakes. Those are just some of the great specials over there. All right, 508-996-0500. That is my number. Man, I really boned it a couple of times there during the Gen X Files. But it's a Monday, right? It's to be expected. So we can take more of your phone calls, 508-996-0500. I had mentioned before the break, I had talked about how I went over to Kilburn Mill on Saturday, and I was questioning why some of those stores were closed on a Saturday when you think it would be a lot of people. And I got an app chat message from Elaine who says that a lot of the stores are closed on Saturdays because they don't get as much foot traffic as they do other days. I wouldn't have thought that was the case. I would have thought more people were there on Saturdays. So I would have thought it would be more of a day that everybody would be there, but I guess not. Plus, it's hard to know, like, what stores are actually open. Like, if I come on Wednesday, is the store going to be open? Like, not a lot of them have their hours posted. It's a very cool concept for shopping, but it's not really made for just going in and walking around. Because if you go in there and walk around and you just see a bunch of empty places or closed places, you're like, well, I'm not coming back here. I don't know. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning.
How you doing?
You know, I've never been to the Kilburn Mills ever.
Oh, I recommend it. It's fun. I like the concept. As somebody that grew up in Plymouth and went to Cordage Park a lot, it reminds me very much of Cordage Park in the old days.
Right. I used to always go to Cordage Park. Always. And yeah, I don't know why. I always forget to go there. So what else is in there?
Well, there's all kinds of things. So there's gyms in there, there's dance studios, there's barber shops, there's tattoo parlors, there's a store that sells plants, there's an apothecary, yeah. there's a store that sells vintage clothes and vintage items. There's another one that apparently sells, there's a toy store, there's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, Oh, my God.
There's a flea market on the second floor.
I can't believe that all of that's in there. I got to get over there. And parking is good or it's hard?
Well, right now they've got that lot shut down, but you can park along the street. People were park. You can't. So Dash Laundromat doesn't want you parking in their parking lot because they've got customers coming in and out the whole day. But on the other side, over by Family Dollar, people park over there too. And then there is parking behind the building too.
Oh, there is. Okay.
There is. Yeah, it's not the best area to be driving your car over. Like, so just be careful. Go slow because it's kind of torn up back there. But you can park back there if you need to.
Okay. Wow. That's great to know. Yeah. I don't know why. You know what? I'm going to put that on my list of things to do. I should go out during the week because all the stores are closed on the weekend, you said.
I don't know because some of them are only going to be open on the weekend. So I guess it all kind of depends. Oh. I would say when you have some time, just go there and wander around, see if there's a store that you're interested in, and then just look it up and see what their hours are.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah, there's a dollhouse store in there, a store that just sells dollhouses and dollhouse furniture. There's a tabletop gaming store in there. There's all kinds of stuff.
No kidding. Oh, yeah, I'm going to make a note, leave it right on my door so when they leave.
And have you been to the antique store there too?
No.
Oh, well, that's a good one too. So you can walk around and it's basically, you know, it's all in the, you know, it's all like different vendors have their booths and some of them have like sales. Some of them are 20% off, some of them 50% off. You can walk around there, but then in the back, the whole area is filled with antique furniture. And even if you're not buying any antique furniture, it's fun to kind of walk back through there and see all the stuff they have.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Even if I'm not buying anything. Yeah. I love looking at antique stuff.
I mean, yeah, they got stuff going back to like the early 1800s in there.
Oh my gosh. How wonderful. So this place is huge. Wow, it's really got a lot. Sounds like I could spend a whole day there.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Wow, I'm going to make a day of it for sure.
Now that new coffee shop is over there too, Society. They opened up a coffee shop in there, so you can get a cup of coffee while you're wandering around.
Yeah, they should like send out flyers or something once in a while because I wouldn't remember this at all to go there. I have no idea there was that much in there if it wasn't for you right now.
Well, hopefully now they'll hear it and they'll open more.
So with the stars, Shirley Temple, I thought, was the first actress to ever get a star.
Don't know. That's just the information that I had.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know Brittany was the first one. Not that I really remember Shirley Temple, but I do know, like, she made a lot of movies. I just assumed that her name would be there. But anyways, and I gave my condolences on Saturday. I called in to him.
So Shirley Temple didn't get her star until 1960.
Okay, but she got one. And how old was she?
Well, by 1960, she was probably much older.
Oh, I don't know. Because I don't know what year she was born. I have no idea. She was
born in 1928, Brittany. So she was 32 when she got her star.
Yeah, and Brittany was way younger than that. Yeah. So I guess, wow, that's
well, not good. I mean, do you know the process of getting a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame? It's not necessarily the big honor that everybody thinks that it is, but it is, but it isn't. So in order to get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, you have to submit the application along with, so basically the people who want that person to get a star, they pay for everything. They pay for it being put in there. They pay for all of that stuff. So like this, they even pay for the ceremony. So there's like all of this fee that's associated with it. And then it goes before a committee to say yes or no. So it's not really like, it's like, oh, you've earned this. It's more like somebody paid for this is kind of how it works. Cause we've been trying to get one from Myla Nurmi for a while. She was the actress that played Vampyra and so they like to give them to people that are alive because they have them come to the ceremony. They don't like to give them to people posthumously, but if you can make a case that they deserve it, then they would consider it. So we were trying to make the case that she deserves it because she basically created the horror host genre and, we're trying to get her, but they wanted the money. And so then we had somebody, a very famous comedian who was willing to pony up the money to be able to get it done. And it just turned into this whole thing of politics about whether or not it was going to get approved. And if you submit the money and it doesn't get approved, you don't get the money back.
Oh, no, sir. Wow. Oh, double-edged sword.
Yeah.
Yeah, no fear. Well, all right. Thank you, Tim. You have a great day.
All right. You as well.
Okay, bye-bye.
And yes, I mean, not to belittle the star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, but it is, there is some politics involved, and of course there is some money involved. But it still is an honor when they say, yes, you can do it. Now, again, they like to do it when you're alive so that you can be there and be there for the ceremony and, you know, put your handprints in there and all that kind of stuff. Although the handprints is the Chinese theater. But anyway, the idea is that they want to, you know, have you be there. So the posthumous ones are a lot harder to get done, but hopefully we can get it done for Myla. I kind of abandoned that quest with her niece, but we should get back on that and see if we can follow up on it. Because she does deserve it. She certainly inspired. Without her, there'd be no Elvira. Elvira's a direct ripoff of Vampyra. Not Cassandra Peterson's fault. The producer that, the way the story was told to me by Myla's niece was that the producer approached Myla to say, hey, we're going to have you bring back Vampyra and you're going to be the mother to this new character, Elvira. And we just need you to sign this so that we can utilize the name and the likeness and everything. And so she signed the paperwork and then they didn't call her to be part of the production. They just had, so basically they got her to sign away the character so that she couldn't fight them in court over it. And Elvira, Cassandra didn't know. Cassandra was unaware that all this happened. She didn't know. And then as part of that, you know, at the time, Myla was very poor. She was, you know, taking cleaning jobs to be able to eat. She didn't even have a phone. But her best friend was Marlon Brando, and he paid for her to have a phone so that they could talk on the phone when he wanted to call her. And turns out she had a baby with Orson Welles. And the gentleman who grew up to, you know, the baby grew up to be, he didn't know that until the niece found him and told him and said, hey, this is what we found out. It was a very, very interesting story. She wrote an awesome book, Sandra did. And I had her on one of my internet shows, and it was just a fascinating interview. I got to take a break here, caller. Hang on. I will take you as soon as we come back. We'll be back in a few moments.
Wake up weekday mornings with the Tim Weisberg Show, 1420 AM and 99.5 FM, WBSM.
And let's take a phone call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Tim, that girl that was calling just before I called, talking about Shirley Temple.
Mm-hmm.
She was a very famous actress, you know.
Yes.
In the late 30s, early 40s. I didn't know if you understood that.
I've got
all her movies.
Yes,
she was excellent.
Yeah, no, I'm very familiar with Shirley Temple. I just was saying she was 32 when she got her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. So they made her wait a little longer, yeah.
She started like at 6 years old, you know.
Yeah, and some of those performances she had at that age were amazing for somebody that age.
I've got all her movies. They're beautiful. I mean, I can't play them now because they're on disc. They're not on discs. They're on the, before the disc came out, you know, it was a...
The VCR?
We used to put it in a special box to play it on the movies. Yeah, I think it wasn't what the disc is today, no. Yeah, but I got all her movies, all the Disney ones. They're beautiful. And as she was getting older, she got married young, you know, to John Agia, I think his name was. And it didn't last. But she made a movie with him. I think she was only about 19 at the time. That was a beautiful movie, too. But she went out as she got older.
Yeah, you know? And she ended up becoming a diplomat.
She did. She was an ambassador, wasn't she?
Yep.
Yeah, I remember that. I'm way old, you know. I'm in my 90s now.
Well, I just looked it up, and I figured out why it took so long for her to get a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Because they didn't start it until 1960. So she was actually one of the first to get it, but they just didn't have it until 1960.
Oh, is that why? Yeah, I really liked her. Now, that Kilbourne Mill, where is that?
That's in the south end of New Bedford on Rodney French there, the big mill building there.
Yeah. I used to work at a plant there, document finishing. I worked in the office there. Oh, it was right near there. Oh,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
okay,
thank you
so much.
It's a great place. Go check it out.
I can't get out anymore. I'm kind of bedridden. I listen to you all day long, to all your callers.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and I really enjoy your show most of all. I think the way you could communicate with the people, it's great, really great.
Well, thank you so much.
Okay.
You have a good day.
Thank you so much. Okay, bye-bye.
And, you know,
I should see if I can find you a VCR, because I see them occasionally at different places, and then you'd be able to watch those cassettes again. All right, I got to take one more break. We'll be back in a few moments.